Good afternoon, everyone. Today's Feast of All Saints teaches us that saints come in all size and shapes. They are rich and poor, young and old, warriors and peacemakers, hermits and organizers of charity, parents and celibates, scholars and those who could not read. Every era has its saints, and so should ours. So if so, who are they? The struggles may change, but the heroes are still among us. Webster's definition of a saint is a person acknowledged as holy, virtuous, and regarded as being in heaven after death. It is also a person who is canonized by the church after death and who may be the object of veneration and prayer for intercessions. But becoming a saint is also part of our Catholic teaching, that all of us are called to be a saint. May I say, dared to be a saint. Yet most of us wouldn't take this message seriously. After all, saints, well, they're special people, and we can never be like them. Honestly, if I could just sneak into heaven by the back door, then I'll be satisfied. But I don't think there's a backdoor entry into heaven. So where does that leave us? Each and every one of us has received a call to become a saint at baptism. And it is an invitation for each and every one of us to respond to that call with all of our hearts. At our baptism, we are given God's given gift of His Spirit. And the fact that we have His Spirit means that no limit may be set to how far it is possible for us to go in responding to God's call on our lives. Many people, unfortunately, have a false idea of what a saint is. I heard people say saints have never committed a sin in all of their lives. These are people who are always shining with virtue, strong-willed, humble, pure, never lost their patience, never thought about themselves, but always of God and others. But this is a fallacy. It implies that saints were saints from the cradle onwards. In other words, saints were born saints. But they were not born saints. They became saints. They struggled through life, just like us. But at one point, they underwent a conversion, a change of heart that resulted in a change of life. Now, this change did not happen overnight, but was a result of a long and painful journey. The change of heart that we call conversion is very clearly seen in the lives of some of the greatest names: Francis of Assisi, Augustine of Hippo, Paul of Tarsus. Now, each of these, at a certain time in their lives, heard the words of Jesus: "My blessed, come, follow me." I myself have heard those words. Marco, come, follow me. And I don't consider myself anywhere close to being considered a saint. Yet, Jesus still calls me and continues to call me on my life journey towards heaven and daring me to become a saint. If we look at today's gospel, the Beatitudes, these may be one of the most familiar in all of Scripture. It's a litany of what it means to be blessed. And it is seen as a blueprint of living the Christian life. But But in the context of today's feast, it tells us this is how one becomes a saint. But do we really understand what this means? As we celebrate All Saint Day and we hear these great names, it is tempting for us to literally put them on a pedestal. Just look around at any church, even our homes. We see saints in stained glass, in wood, in marble. They're plaster figures. We put them on shelves and decorate them with flowers or adorn them with halos. We collect them in holy cards and in icons. But when we think of the saints that way, well, it makes me feel totally unworthy, an impossible feat for me to achieve. I say, well, sainthood is a noble ambition, an ideal. But I believe we need to hear what this feast says to us. It is a summons, a call, a challenge to every one of us here listening. And I challenge you to look at it in another way. All Saints Day is nothing less than a dare. Today's feast says to us, dare to be more. Dare to be a saint. Dare to be a saint. Now, I know some of you, as you're listening to this, are laughing under your mask. I know. I can't see you, but I know there's a smile there. I can't be a saint. Or those at home, I can't see you either. So it poses this question. Is this something that we can realistically expect to attain? And the short answer is yes. Think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by allowing us to be called God's children. Today's second reading reminds us saints are not self-made people. They are people who have responded generously to the love of God showered on them. And the completion of that love is to be invited to share a life with God forever in the life to come. And it is altogether reasonable to think that many of our family, relatives, and friends who have gone before us are being celebrated today. And we look forward to the day when we too can be experiencing the same total happiness when, as we read in the book of Revelations, they will never hunger or thirst again, when the sun and the scorching wind will never plague them, because the Lamb who is at the heart of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. We have to remember the great truth about the saints. And this is something that we can easily forget. Is that they are just like us. Flesh and blood, strength and weakness. They were people of appetite and longings, ambition, disappointments, vanities, eccentricities. They were simple sinners, just like the rest of us. But that is how they began. But that was not the whole story. The simple and reassuring fact is that nobody is born a saint. It is something that we are called to become. This past week, I was sharing a conversation with my wife, Lynn. We were talking about when the pandemic started back in March. And we were told that we were going to shut down for about 4, maybe 5 weeks. An interruption, I called it. We'll be back on track real soon. Well, 5 weeks has turned into 7 months. I was even furloughed from my job at CCM for 2 months. This is what I call a disruption. Our lives have been totally upended. So my wife, Lynn, posed the question to me, and she said, what are we called to do right now in these days? It's a great question. We are called to be more. We are called to sainthood. So how do we as individuals, as a community of believers, how do we do that? Well, to be honest, it doesn't have to be big. As I look out through the church and I think of all those who are not able to be here with us, join us. I know there's some of us online. Yesterday at 4:30, we had 25. There's another 25 here, and there's about maybe 180 online. But think about this. If each and every one of us would reach out to one person, just one, to make a phone call, to send an email, send a card, just one person, that means that we can reach out to over 200 of our brothers and sisters to show them love, to show them that we care and that we're thinking of them, and for them to receive and hear a voice, a familiar voice, well, that's going to be a huge impact. That is what I believe that we are called to do, dared to do, because nobody is born a saint. It's something that we are called to become. I just was thinking about the saints that have passed before us. You know, and sometimes the saints that we expect are not the ones we would think would become a saint. I was thinking of one in particular, a person like Benedict Joseph Labre, who was born in 1748. Now, Benedict grew up the son of a prosperous shopkeeper, but he was called to give up everything to follow Jesus. He chose poverty. He chose homelessness as a faith journey. And he spent his life wandering from church to church in Rome. He rarely bathed, never washed his clothes, and some people were repelled by him. But the purity of his devotion and the love of God moved and inspired those who saw him day after day. And when he died at a young age of 35, the priest of Rome kept his clothes, and he was buried in one of the churches that he loved. Today, he's the patron saint of the homeless. God calls each of us in a different way. Nobody is born a saint. It is something we are called to become. I'll give you another example. In the 1920s, if you had to pick a woman who was least likely candidate for sainthood, it would probably have been an anarchist and a communist from Brooklyn named Dorothy Day. She worked as a journalist, spent time drinking with her friends in New York. She had an abortion, had a brief marriage, before finally being drawn to Jesus and the gospel. And she converted to Catholicism. Her conversion led her to embark on a radical ministry to the poor, one that is still changing the world today. She is now a candidate for sainthood. Late in her life, people called her a living saint. "Don't call me a saint," she once said. "I don't want to be dismissed that easily." We shouldn't dismiss any of the saints. They are closer to us than we may realize. They have struggled with sin and temptation. Their walk, their journey towards holiness, sometimes they stumbled, sometimes falling, but always getting back up and moving on, resolving to do better, to be better, to aim higher. They worked to what the gospel is calling us to be poor in spirit, to be meek, to be merciful, to make peace. This is how we become what Jesus called blessed. and what we are dared to be, a saint. Now you may say that this is a tall order. It is nothing less than a call to love unconditionally. But today's feast reminds us, whether we realize it or not, it can be ours. This sainthood is within our grasp. All Saints' Day dares us to something beautiful, reminds us of our great potential, the promise that lies within each and every one of us, the call that dares us to become a saint.